This is going to be a little different, but it's going to be very practical, not theological. That doesn't mean that there are not theological parts to it. It is very important, the theological aspects of finance raising. And also, I'm going to say what works for us, and not all of it might be relevant to your seminary. So you can do a bit of cherry picking and see what you can pick out of it. Right, raising funds for your seminary. Every seminary needs money, right? So whose job is it to find it? Is it the principal's? But doesn't he have enough to do and to worry about rather than chasing money? So what do you do? Do you want to separate the functions? It sounds to me like a good idea. So what do? We appoint a fundraiser and a promoter. Now that's my job at the Cape Town Baptist Seminary. So let's just recap a little. The president or the principal runs the seminary, and the fundraiser raises the funds. The principal has enough on his plate without having to look for money. But this doesn't mean that the principal is disinterested. He has contacts that he can talk to or can be passed on to the fundraiser. At Cape Town Baptist Seminary, we've established the Cape Town Baptist Seminary Foundation over 20 years ago. It is a committee of businessmen charged with ensuring the viability and continuity of the seminary. A director was appointed to create a financial plan and execute it, and I'm the third such director. The financial success of the seminary is dependent on a number of aspects. Firstly, it's dependent on the collective efforts of the director and the foundation, but most importantly, the faithfulness of the Lord. All right, now you've got a fundraiser. Where does he start? Successful fundraising depends on a plan. You need a number of major donors, some medium-level donors, and large base of smaller donors. So you create a pyramid. There we are. So you have, wouldn't it be nice to have a lot of major donors and a few smaller donors? But that's not reality. So donors drop out from time to time, and so you constantly have to be on the lookout for additional donors at all levels. You need to try especially to guard against major donors dropping out, so you need to treat them very well. And we created a foundation. The birth of the foundation was over 20 years ago, and initially the seminary held a breakfast and invited as many people who were interested and potential donors as possible to attend and shared the need. Many people of means came forward and elected a foundation committee, and the foundation started to function. Okay, now you've got a foundation. Where does it get money? Aha, let's start at home. From Baptist churches. In South Africa, many churches donate to the seminaries. We have two seminaries in South Africa, one in Randburg, which is near Joburg, and us in Cape Town. And people donate, the churches donate on a monthly, annual, or ad hoc basis. It's a voluntary donation recommended by the Baptist Union. And these donations form a large part of the base of the pyramid. Then we ask individuals. We establish the foundation, which is registered as a tax-free non-profit organization, so that individuals who donate to it receive tax relief on their donations. Many individuals and businessmen, with an interest in the seminary donate, and we have some small business owners who donate via their businesses. There are many financial distractions for individuals, though. We live in a materialistic age where peer pressure, especially among the younger generation, occurs. Designer clothing, cars, cell phones. Everybody's got one of those. I call it a control panel because it controls the user. Of course, there are many other gadgets that interfere with giving, which is very frustrating. I mean, we've got iPads, iPods, computers, laptops, and all sorts of stuff. So everybody's got to have one of those. One thing that we find important is that we ask our trustees to be donors as well. Because from time to time, the trustees ask people for money, and we believe that you cannot ask somebody to do what you're not doing. So if you, you know, and the trustees feel at liberty then to ask others for money. Then, overseas. We've got a small number of donors in the USA. The US dollar goes very far against our currency, but it requires a lot of time, effort, and money because you first have to do friend building before fundraising. If you arrive in the US and say, "Hello, I'm Sam Smith." We don't have a Sam Smith here, do we? "I'm Sam Smith from ABC Seminary. Please donate me at $10,000. You'll actually get nowhere, probably kicked out. It is through repeat visits and building up trust, relationships, and friendships that there is limited success. A major factor in the US is that there are the cooperative programs that are a priority for churches and people donate to those. And the IMB of the Southern Baptist Convention is exactly that. Okay, where do we go from here? Trusts and foundations. You could use the internet to find trusts that are likely to donate to the seminary. This can be quite a time-consuming process because most philanthropic outfits don't donate to religious organizations. But if you are successful, it could mean a significant amount to your seminary. All right, now so what does he do to get the money? Firstly, you have to promote the seminary. Not everybody knows about it, or it's just something that happens far away. And also people only usually donate to causes that they're interested in. If your dog lovers will give to the SPCA, etc. Alternatively, people won't give to something they know nothing about. So you need to familiarize them with your seminary and continually remind them that you're around. So how do we do that? We create a case for support document, and that details why the seminary is in existence, what needs it is meeting, its mission, the courses it offers, its vision for the future, and its successes, and why it is a great cause to support. So this is your real advertising blurb. Then you get to know the pastors of your church or your churches in your country and visit those that you can and ask if you can take or participate in services. Those you cannot get to, maintain contact via newsletters, phone calls, internet, email, etc. Many of the pastors in our country are alumni of our seminary and are already on our side. Social media. For anybody over the age of 60, they say, what? Well, not everybody. But if you're under 25 and you don't have it, you're seriously deprived. But it is very important and becoming even more important for us at seminaries. Make sure you've got a website where people can look up your seminary's static information at the very basic. Even if you don't have the resources to freshen it up regularly, but you've got to have a website so that people who are interested in students or youngsters normally, well, up to 40, say, they're the guys who will look on the internet. So you've got to have a website. Get onto Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and others that people are actually never far from. Keep adding information and photos to your pages, because this is where younger people especially spend a lot of time. Now I want to do an experiment. How many of you here are on Facebook? Have we got Wi-Fi at the moment? All right, won't you please go on Facebook to Cape Town Baptist Seminary? And when you get there, please like our page. You think that's funny? and then share it on your timeline. Please. I'm not going to waste this opportunity. One thing we've also found is that we get a lot of inquiries from prospective students, so via Facebook. So if you haven't got Facebook for your seminary, create it today, because by the time you get home, you might have somebody asking questions. Yes, and of course, every student that we have at the seminary reduces a deficit that we have to raise. We're done. Well, carry on. I'll keep talking. Use alumni successes. The use of successes of alumni to showcase the quality of your teaching and the impact of the graduates are making for the kingdom is vital. We have somebody that I met here just the other day who's a graduate of the seminary, Ezra. He said it from the front here. He was terrified of guys like Ronnie and Lindsay and Godfrey, but they're actually quite nice guys. We also have one of our, this is the guy that I use as the biggest example. One of our graduates is involved in prison ministry. He graduated and then he opened up an office at one of the biggest prisons in Cape Town, and he does an amazing work there in bringing prisoners to the Lord, so that when they leave prison, they go out in much better shape than what they came in, spiritually and in other ways. And his work has been recognized so far that he's been made an advisor to the Minister of Prisons. And he's an alumnus of our seminary. So that's where you brag about people that you've created and who and what they're doing. 2 years ago, I went to Port Elizabeth on deputation. And I spent 2 weekends there. It's a pity every day is not Sunday, you know, when you want to go to churches. But, you know, you have to take a Sunday, then a week in between, and then another Sunday. But the minister's fraternal was on that time. And I was invited to speak at the minister's fraternal. And as things were, the president of the Baptist Union was going to preach there, after I'd done my presentation. And he was an alumnus of the seminary. So, as I updated everybody, I asked the pastors there, put up your hand if you went to Cape Town Baptist Seminary. And we had a smattering of people, I would say 30 to 40%. And I said, well, you guys are testimony to our teaching. But I have brought along today our flagship product, the president of the Baptist Union. And I went up and I shook his hand, and he didn't know what I was going to do. Blow your own trumpet of people that just have gone through your seminary. It's an advert for you so that others come to your seminary so that you don't have to raise funds or people will donate because of the results. Then visit influential Baptist lay people and businessmen for donations. You know, once again I've said... You build friends and you introduce them to the seminary, because you can't just go there and say, hi, yes, thanks, I'll have coffee. Can you give us 10,000 men? It doesn't work. You have to build relationships and then you get donors. I've got a friend who's in customer service, and he says it takes you eight times as much effort to get a new customer as it does to retain one. So once you've got somebody in, it's easier to get a second donation. Also, those more influential people are earning good money, so they will get better tax relief at their marginal rates on their donations than those earning less. Business owners also can donate through their businesses to reduce their tax as well. Have a bequest program. This is a very sensitive issue and needs to be handled with tact. That's not me, usually. But it's an opportunity for donors to give a final donation in investing in the kingdom. But it needs serious relationship building and must not compete with the needs of the family. I have a friend who has been a friend for a long time. He's busy suffering the end stages of cancer. And when I visit him, I don't say, "Hey, Al, have you signed the codicil?" or anything like that. But I just remind him and I say, "Thank you very much for your faithful donations to the seminary over the years," and leave it at that. Hopefully he will consider that and leave money to the seminary, because he supported us and he supported the work. Lump sums can inject capital into the seminary, and long-term relationships are worth cultivating. I had a crazy idea. When I have crazy ideas, I put them past my wife, and she's a bit negative. So if I think it's really crazy, I ask her, and she says, "You must be daft, don't do it." And if it'll fly a bit better, then I don't ask her. I ask Linda instead. But I had this idea once of going to visit old age homes. And maybe it's not such a crazy idea, because I would have liked to have taken a student with me. A student who could preach the gospel to these people, to these elderly people who are they have more of their life behind them than in front of them. I'm in that category. And, once the student preaches, they can see the quality of our work. And then I could maybe somehow put to them, if your children have abandoned you or you don't have any children, why not consider giving to this, the work that we're doing here with this guy? And I'm not convinced that it's wrong yet. And I think about it, my father came to know the Lord at the age of 86. So maybe it's not so crazy after all. We have promotional items that we have created. These items can lie around and have your logo on, and people can see them, and they don't say anything. So I've brought a few of them with me. So apart from giving them to influential visitors, we sell them to students and staff and the general public at events. They can advertise your seminary for you anywhere that they're taken. But I've got some very entry-level backpacks and some lanyards and some bookmarks over there. And so once I've finished speaking, if anybody would like one, please don't kill me in the crush. We have pens, T-shirts, mugs, caps, ties, USB drives, etc. Another way is to hold fundraising events. People like to get something for a donation. So we do something that gives value for their donation or attract people who wouldn't normally donate. We have a golf day, which brings in fringe people, and it makes us a fair profit once a year. Other things that might work for you, like cake sales or quiz evenings with prizes, concerts, sponsorships, etc. But for these events need committed volunteers. Then we have yearly or annual events in which we ask for donations. Most companies give an annual bonus, and that's mostly paid at the end of November so that people can spend it on Christmas stuff. I have a number of regulars who donate around that time, and when I call them, and all it needs is, "Oh, hi Pete, it's you again, it's time, all right," and it happens. Some I just have to remind a little more, but generally they all donate, and it gives us a bumper November. Another time is just before the end of the tax year in February. I phone people and say, "Your donation's tax deductible. If you give it now, we give you a certificate. You send it into the receiver of revenue and he'll deduct it off your tax and you'll get a rebate for it." We have what we call Seminary Month. It's a major annual event for the seminary, and we've chosen August, when the seminary asks local churches if we can take the service to promote the seminary. We send teams of students and faculty to the churches that invite us, where we preach, give testimonies, sing items, promote donations to the foundation, that's where I'm in my element, and Canvas for prospective students. And we also have promotion items on sale afterwards. The Baptist Assembly happens in October once or every year. And most of our students actually are recommended to come to the seminary by their pastors. So this is an opportunity to bring the seminary in front of all the churches in the country and meet those pastors who maybe are not quite on our side yet. And we also sell promo items to them there. We love it when it's a cold year because we sell them jackets. Hey, Godfrey? Then we have a couple of other So we have the commencement service every February, very early in the academic year. We're invited to a local church to take the service. We usually benefit from the offering or part thereof for the morning. And once again, it's a good opportunity for promo items. Then finally, in this lot of annual things, we have our graduation. Now, our graduation is the shop window, and I'm pretty sure it is yours as well, where all of our faculty get dressed up like Father Christmas or somebody else, and we celebrate. It's a celebration. They call it a graduation service. Not a service. It's a celebration. We're sending these guys out to win people for the Lord. And this is where our latest products are on show. Our graduands are given a short time to speak and showcase their zeal for the Lord and how prepared for the ministry they are because of the training. It's an opportunity to reach a large number of supporters and students and interested parties, so we have an offering and I do a presentation again. And you guessed it, we sell promo items. All right, so those are the standard sort of things. But you need to innovate, and I've learned a few things about innovation. And by the way, I don't have the monopoly here of innovative ideas. I might hopefully just trigger something for you. We've had debit order donors for a long time. This group makes up the body of your lowest part of your pyramid, the faithful donors who give every month. But recently we started what we call the cheeseburger challenge. It's not how many cheeseburgers you can eat in a minute. We challenge people to give up a cheeseburger and a cool drink per month at their favorite restaurant and donate the money to the seminary, to the foundation. In our case, it's around about 100 rand, which comes to about $7. And it's not onerous. You know, and it's not, it's not a big sacrifice for somebody. In fact, it might do them some good. And of course, who goes to these restaurants alone? You take your girlfriend or your wife. So we have the double cheeseburger challenge as well. So we advertise it widely, and the number of donors is actually growing towards significant support. You know, if you have 100 rand per donor and you get 50, that's 5,000 rand a month, that's 60,000 rand a year, which is pays for a lecturer or so. So it's not insignificant. And of course, it's tax deductible. So if you sacrifice the burger and the cool drink, you could well get the onion rings and the bun free. Another thing that we do, or we would like to do, is find a patron. Find a public figure who will align themselves with the seminary and the beliefs and the teaching of the seminary and grow their commitment with you in order that you can use their popularity to advertise the work of the seminary like no other person, not like no ordinary person can. And this could lead to significant donations and publicity. We unfortunately are still looking for such a person, but I've seen it work well with an organization that my best buddy is in. He's got an ex-international cricketer whose daughter was a member of his team, and this guy has come on board and he does all the presentations and he's a well-known figure in South Africa. Then we had a real crazy idea. We call it Seminary Safari. The style of innovation is dependent on the personalities involved at your seminary and who are involved on your foundation if you have one. We recently launched what we call the Seminary Safari. The chairman of the foundation and I have been privileged to visit our national parks many times and are avid wildlife fans. I'm also a qualified tour guide. And our plan is to invite guests to take advantage of our knowledge and experience to go to the Kruger National Park. It would cost a little more than it would to organize it themselves, but we're entitled to some discounts and we would add on a small profit and all of that would go to the foundation. I'm itching to test drive it. Student sponsorship scheme. This is also very, very, very new. We calculated how much it costs the seminary to train one student per year. You know, we took the total costs divided by the number of students and got that figure. And we used that amount to try to get a donor or a group like a cell group to pay the total cost to seminary of that student, of one student for that year. So they would pay that slice over to the foundation. The students' fees would be paid out of the total and the remainder would go to the foundation. The donor would could choose the student that they would like to sponsor from profiles sent to them. They would be given an opportunity to have access to their student if they liked, to monitor progress, and the student would not be permitted to ask the donor for more money. Projects. Some individuals would rather give to a project than to daily running costs. So have a list of ad hoc projects available from small, relatively small amounts to relatively large amounts, so that if somebody is interested in computers and they see that you have a need for new Wi-Fi or new computers, they say, "Oh, I'll sponsor that. Here's the money. Go and buy it." Or, "Here you are. Here they are." We have a water shortage in Cape Town at the moment. Those of you who have been chatting to the four of us will probably know that. And for the last year or so, we've had the crisis of the dams being almost empty. So, you know, we had to shower once a week, whether we needed it or not. And we had to save water. And we've got a project which is $2,000. And we can connect rainwater off our roofs and store that in a tank. And then we could use that to flush our toilets. And that would save us quite a lot of money in actually using municipal water. So I'm looking forward when I get back to try to advertise that to somebody who would take it on as a project. Capital fund. The long-term future of your seminary will probably depend on having capital reserves. Living from hand to mouth causes all sorts of stress, but if you can, build capital, which probably would come from trusts, foundations, and bequests. If these funds are invested wisely and not at the casino, they could give the seminary choices like building projects, chair funding, and course expansion, or whatever fits your local circumstances. Then a third stream, income. The first stream of income is from fees. The second stream is via fundraising. And the third stream income could be from passive income. A saying that I learned a few years ago was, you can work for your money or your money can work for you. I still haven't found that in any Bible verse, but it makes a bit of sense. If you have capital to invest in rental property, for instance, low-risk investments and the like, it could give you a regular third-stream income. But I've heard other ways of having unrelated activities to the seminary by using something like seminary land to do farming and sell the produce. So here's where your imagination could kick in to maybe get a third stream income. In conclusion, most of the learned gentlemen here have used alliteration to end off or for their points, and you're not getting away with it with me. I would like to leave you with five P's for the seminary. Firstly, pray, like I said at the beginning. That's vitally important. Pray for the seminary. Number two, peruse our website, www.ctbs.org.za, to find out about the seminary. Then what you've just done, promote the seminary on Facebook. Like and share our seminary page. Then 4, partner with us. Become a donor and ensure that men and women are trained to win people for Jesus. Obviously, that's not for you guys, but this is for everybody else. And then 5, pay us a visit. If you're in our neck of the woods, we'd love to show you around and see how things are done at our seminary. And Jesus said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." That's Luke 10:2, for those of you who haven't got it off by heart. So that is the whole purpose of our fundraising. It is our privilege and challenge to prepare those laborers for the harvest in partnership with our faculty. Thank you.